Pastoral Care by St. Gregory the Great. Book 3, Chapter 21. How those are to be admonished who desire not the things of others, but keep their own, and those who give of their own, yet seize on those of others. Differently to be admonished are those who neither desire what belongs to others, nor bestow what is their own, and those who give of what they have, and yet desist not from seizing on what belongs to others. Those who neither desire what belongs to others, nor bestow what is their own, are to be admonished to consider carefully that the earth out of which they are taken is common to all men, and therefore brings forth nourishment for all in common. Vainly, then, do those suppose themselves innocent who claim to their own private use the common gift of God. Those who, in not imparting what they have received, walk in the midst of the slaughter of their neighbors, since they almost daily slay so many persons as there are dying poor, whose subsidies they keep close in their own possession. For when we administer necessaries of any kind to the indigent, we do not bestow our own, but render them what is theirs. We rather pay a debt of justice than accomplish works of mercy. Whence also the truth himself, when speaking of the caution required in showing mercy, says, "Take heed that you do not do your justice before men." The psalmist also, in agreement with this sentence, says, "He has dispersed, he has given to the poor, his justice endures forever." For having first mentioned bounty bestowed upon the poor, he would not call this mercy, but rather justice. For it is surely just that whosoever receive what is given by a common Lord should use it in common. Hence also Solomon says, "Whoso is just will give and will not spare." They are to be admonished also, anxiously, to take note how of the fig tree that had no fruit, the rigorous husbandman complains that it even cumbers the ground. For the fig tree without fruit cumbers the ground. When the soul of the ungenerous keeps unprofitably what might have benefited many. A fig tree without fruit cumbers the ground. When the fool keeps barren under the shade of sloth, a place which another might have cultivated under the sun of good works. But these are wont sometimes to say, "We use what has been granted to us. We do not seek what belongs to others. And if we do nothing worthy of the reward of mercy, still we commit no wrong." So they think, because in truth they close the ear of their heart to the words which are from heaven. For the rich man in the gospel, who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and feasted sumptuously every day, is not said to have seized what belongs to others, but to have used what it was his own, unfruitfully. And avenging hell received him after this life, not because he did anything unlawful, but because by immoderate indulgence he gave up his whole self to what was lawful. The ungenerous are to be admonished to take notice that they do God, in the first place, this wrong, that to him who gives them all, they render in return no sacrifice of mercy. For hence the psalmist says, "He will not give his propitiation to God, nor the price of the redemption of his soul." For to give the price of redemption is to return good deeds for preventing grace. Hence John cries aloud, saying, "Now the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Every tree which does not bring forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire." Let those, therefore, who esteem themselves guiltless because they do not seize on what belongs to others, look forward to the stroke of the axe that is near at hand, and lay aside the torpor of improvident security, lest while they neglect to bear the fruit of good deeds, they be cut off from the present life utterly, as it were, from the greenness of the root. But, on the other hand, those who both give what they have and do not desist from seizing on what belongs to others, are to be admonished not to desire to appear exceedingly munificent, and so be made worse from the outward show of good. For these, giving what is their own without discretion, not only, as we have said above, fall into the murmuring of impatience, but when want urges them, are swept along even to avarice. What, then, is more wretched than the mind of those in whom avarice is born of bountifulness, and a crop of sins is sown, as it were, from virtue? First, then, they are to be admonished to learn how to keep what is theirs reasonably, and then, in the end, not to go about getting what is another's. For if the root of the fault is not burnt out in the profusion itself, the thorn of avarice, exuberant through the branches, is never dried up. So then, cause for seizing is withdrawn if the right of possession is first adjusted well. But then, further, let those who are admonished be told how to give mercifully what they have, when they have learnt not to confound the good of mercy by throwing into it the wickedness of robbery. For they violently exact what they mercifully bestow. For it is one thing to show mercy on account of our sins, another thing to sin on account of showing mercy, which can no longer indeed be called mercy, since it cannot grow into sweet fruit, being embittered by the poison of its pestiferous root. For hence it is that the Lord, through the prophet, rejects even sacrifices themselves, saying, "I, the Lord, love judgment, and I hate robbery in a whole burnt offering." Hence, again, he has said, "The sacrifices of the ungodly are abominable, which are offered of wickedness." Such persons also often withdraw from the indigent what they give to God. But the Lord shows with what strong censure he disowns them, saying, through a certain wise man, "Whoso offers a sacrifice of the substance of the poor does as one that kills the son before the father's eyes. For what can be more intolerable than the death of a son before his father's eyes?" Wherefore it is shown with what great wrath this kind of sacrifice is beheld, in that it is compared to the grief of a bereaved father. And yet, for the most part, people weigh well how much they give, but how much they seize they neglect to consider. They count, as it were, their wage, but refuse to consider their debts. Let them hear, therefore, what is written: "He who has gathered wages has put them into a bag of holes." For indeed, money put into a bag with holes is seen when it is put in, but when it is lost, it is not seen. Those, then, who have an eye to how much they bestow, but consider not how much they seize, put their wages into a bag with holes, because in truth, they look to them when they gather them together in hope of being secure, but lose them without looking. End of chapter 21.